Actually, this week and next week, I want to talk about a word that's important. It's important to Adonai, and it should be important to us as well. And it actually could be the most important word for us to keep in mind when we think about our relationship with Adonai. Now, I'd like to spring it to you as a surprise, but it's already up on the screen. The way it works sometimes. And that's because it wasn't really meant to be a surprise, because you're supposed to know this already. It's zeal. Being zealous for Adonai. I think you may think after this week and next week's message, like I do, that zeal for Adonai could be even more important than faith in Adonai in our lives. That's a weighty statement, because we know how important faith is in our life. But I want to make the case that zeal is as important as faith in our lives. Maybe we should be speaking more about zeal in our services and our words and our messages. We do speak about zeal and being zealous towards Him, right? We see it in some of the prayers, and we see it in the Word of God as we read it. We know Adonai is zealous towards us and towards Israel. But do we actually give being zealous the weight that it should have? And do we understand it for what it is? Or is it just a word that we parrot back to Adonai because it's somewhere in His Word? So when we quote a scripture, well, it's there, so we say it. I know that most of us have at least a basic understanding of it, but I want to do a bit of a deeper dive to the word and the meaning of zeal, and the meaning of being zealous over these next couple of weeks, this week and next. Both our zeal towards Adonai and his zeal towards us. And the question is, are they the same? What does being zealous look like when we're zealous for Him? And what does it look like when He's zealous for us? And can we be just a little zealous? Or does it take every ounce of our effort to be zealous for Him, to be anything? These are some of the questions that I want to address over this week and next week. And it's really a kind of a good time to do it. Because with these two portions, you know, the one to this week, Balak, and next week, Pinchas, we see examples of zealousness. Now, I bet, and we heard from Jen during her drash a bit about Balaam, I bet Balaam thought he was being zealous for Adonai when he went to Adonai those two times for instructions on what to tell the king of Moab when he sent people to him to bring Balaam back to curse Israel. But it appears he was actually mistaken. He wasn't really zealous. He actually found greater zeal. He found greater zeal for Adonai after a donkey spoke to him and saved him from the sword of the angel of the Lord. And he thought he was being zealous each time that Balak built the seven altars based on his instructions, because Adonai spoke to him each time. But was he really? Because when we read the whole story of Balaam, we see that the turn that he made was really not a wholehearted turn towards Adonai. There are a lot of people who think the whole story of Balaam is found just in Numbers, with the donkey talking and with the prophecies and the matovu that was spoken over Israel. But the end of his story is actually found much later, or at least a bit later, in Scripture. We actually read later on what happened to Balaam and his death in the book of Joshua. Joshua 13, we see how Israel defeated multiple kings and took many towns. And then at the end, there's this small sentence. It's really a half a sentence. Seems to come out of nowhere. Joshua 13, 22. And Balaam, son of Beor, the diviner, whom Adonai killed with the sword among the rest of their slain. Israel killed all these kings and took all these towns. And oh, by the way, Balaam was killed as well. This tells us he did not actually leave Balak totally. And he did not actually stop helping the Moabites. He actually continued to practice divination and gave advice to Balak on what was the weak spot in the Israelis' defense. It turned out to be the men. What a surprise. It turned out to be the men who were joining and going with the women of Moab. It was Balaam who told Balak to have the men of Israel to come to the women of Moab so as to worship with these foreign, with the women of Moab to the foreign gods. This is why we see he died with the kings who opposed Israel. So even though he was not told, even though we weren't told in Torah, the Torah portion what happened to Balaam, when we read on, we see that he was not zealous for Adonai. Even after hearing directly from Adonai five times, and an angel, and a donkey. You would think talking to a donkey would cause some zeal for Adonai. You would think speaking directly to an angel would give you some zeal to Adonai. You would think speaking directly to Adonai would change Balaam's zeal, which was misdirected towards either Moab or the funds he got as a diviner, divineer. I don't know. Maybe that's a word like target and target. A divineer is something a little more fancy than a diviner. Now, before we go any further, let's sit down a definition of what zeal is. For the definition, first I want to look at zeal as just what is zeal, not what is zeal for the Lord, but what is zeal? The Oxford Dictionary says that it's defined as eagerness and ardent interest in pursuit of something, having a fervor towards it. They also say that having zeal implies energetic and unflagging pursuit of an aim or devotion to a cause. When we think about our zeal for the Lord, which we'll get into a little bit later, we can understand this type of definition, right? It does. It kind of lines up with our what we need to have, a zeal for the Lord, an energetic, unflagging pursuit of Him. The Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary gave this. It says, the zeal is an enthusiastic devotion, eager desire, single-minded allegiance. So we see that the zeal is just another way of saying you're throwing yourself fully towards the cause or person. And in this case, it's the cause or person of Adonai. Because when we bring Adonai into the mix, it's being singly minded and devoted to Him. It's not allowing other things to get between you and your goal, which is the relationship with Adonai. That relationship with Adonai and faith in Yeshua, which brings us even closer to a relationship with Adonai. When I deny is the goal of our zeal, there's nothing better. There's just nothing that can be better. But there's a problem, not with zeal in itself, but if it's aimed incorrectly. If it's aimed incorrectly, it can cause anger, it can cause harm. But if it's a good zeal aimed towards Adonai, and one that shares love and wants to show the love of Adonai, then it can be seen as great. Having the right zeal pushes us in a way that will make us share about Adonai and Yeshua. Having a relationship with Adonai because of our zeal is unbeatable and what we're looking for. But we read that having a zeal for Adonai also comes with rewards, which is what we read about in Numbers 25. Here's the telling of Pinchas or Phinehas and his actions and zeal towards Adonai when Moses told the leaders of the sin of the Israelites, which was plainly hatched. It was a plan hatched from Balaam, right? You'll remember that Pinchas took the spear and drove it right through both the man and the woman, creating the first sin kebab. We then hear the words of Adonai through Moses. Numbers 25, starting in verse 10. Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, and the Cohen, has turned away my anger from Bnei Israel, because he was very zealous for me among them, so that I did not put an end to Bnei Israel in my zeal. So now say, see, I am making with him a covenant of shalom. It will be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and atoned for Bnei Israel. We see that the zeal of Phinehas or Pinchas has two rewards, not just for him, but for his descendants as well, the Israelites. There's a covenant of shalom or peace, and there's a covenant of an everlasting priesthood. These are actually not just for Phinehas or the house, but for all who join themselves with Adonai by faith in Yeshua. For we're told that we are all part of the priesthood when we're grafted into the vine of Adonai. We know this as truth from both the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Old and the New Covenant. From Tanakh, we see when Moses approached Adonai on the mountain. Exodus 19:3, starting there. Moses went up to God, and Adonai called to him from the mountain, saying, "This is the house of Jacob. Say this to the house of Jacob, and tell Bnei Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure among all people, for all the earth is mine. So as for you, you will be to me a kingdom of Kohanim, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you are to speak to Bnei Israel." We see that Adonai says that if you listen and keep my words, if you shema, all of Israel will be his priesthood. And then we see this repeated in the writings of Peter. So I'm going to read Peter 2, 1 Peter 2, 1 through 5, and then I'm going to skip down to 9. So get rid of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all lashana hara, evil speak, as newborn babies long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow towards salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable through God to God through Messiah Yeshua. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God, who's God's own possession, so that you may know, may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter repeats Moses' saying Adonai's own words, that when we come to Adonai through the sacrifice of Yeshua, we also become a sacrifice, a chosen people, a priesthood for him. When we do and follow his instructions, this is really just another way of saying, when you are zealous for Adonai, you will gain the rewards as well. Now, before I get too far into the zeal, what zeal is and looks like in men, I want to take a look at what zeal looks like in Adonai. In Adonai, zeal can look different than what we defined it as in men. I'll be looking more closely at what it looks like in men in a bit, but when we think of zeal and zealousness in Adonai, we should also be thinking of jealousy. The zeal that Adonai has towards us is also a jealousy that he has for us. I said that zeal is a single-minded devotion. Well, Adonai has that single-minded devotion towards each and every one of us. He wants that devotion towards him because he has that devotion towards us. What happens when he is devoted to man, but man's not devoted towards him? We can see examples over and over again in Scripture of this zealousness and jealousness towards us. One place we see it is Deuteronomy 32. Starting in Deuteronomy 32:15, "But Jeshurun," or Jerusalem, "grew fat and kicked." You got fat. You grew thick. You gorged. "He forsook God who made him. He mocked the rock of his salvation. He made him jealous with strangers, with abominations. They angered him. They sacrificed to demons, a non-god, gods they had not known, to new ones who came in lately, ones your father had not dreaded. The rock who birthed you, you ignored. You forgot God who brought you forth. Adonai saw, and he spurned his sons and his daughters out of vexation. He said, I will hide my face from them. I want to see their hereafter. For they are an upside down generation, children with no faithfulness in them. They made me jealous with a non-god. They vexed me with airy idols. So I will make them jealous with a non-people. With a foolish nation, I will vex them." The people made Adonai jealous, so Adonai says he'll make them jealous. How? With a people that were at one time not a people. The how is found in Romans 10:19, starting there. "But I say, did Israel not understand? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. With a nation empty of understanding, I will vex you. And Isaiah, is so bold as to say, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became visible to those who did not ask for me. There are so many today that want to think that this is saying Adonai has replaced Israel as the people of Adonai. But that's not true. That's not a correct reading of the verse. The Gentiles finding Adonai did not mean that they would be a replacement for Adonai, but rather a method of Israel's return. The provoking of Israel to bring them back to him is misunderstood by far too many in the world. They need to continue the reading, not separating what Shaul continued to say in chapter 11 of Romans. Chapter 11 of Romans says this, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their false step, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. Now, if their transgression leads to riches for the world, and their loss riches for the Gentiles, then how much more their fullness? The false step of Israel to lose sight of Adonai is the reason the Gentiles were brought to a great awakening at the time of Shaul. And this awakening was for a purpose. Again, I say, Gentiles finding Adonai did not mean that they would be the replacement for Israel, but rather a method for Israel's return. The good news is that the zeal and jealousy lead to Israel's destruction, but to the reconstruction of the relationship that they had, that they were to have with them, with him. This is why Isaiah says this in Isaiah 37:31. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will take root downward and bear fruit upward. For from Jerusalem a remnant will go out, and saviors from Mount Zion. The zeal of Adonai Tzvaot shall perform this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will perform this. The fact that he has become jealous means that he will do something that will bring them back out of the world and into Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem. It is the zeal of Adonai that assures us that his intense love and devotion and commitment to all of his people will always go on for all eternity. That it will not one day just run out because he tires of the people. No, the zeal will continue because the jealousy continues. The jealousy continues because he is God that never changes. That zeal that Adonai has for his creation drives him on to doing great things for his people. The fact that he never changes means that his zeal also will never change. That means, of course, that he will always be jealous for his people as long as his people give him cause for jealousy. That's the zeal of Adonai. Now let's look at the zeal of men. Because they are different. If only because the zeal of Adonai never changes or falters, but that's not true about men. The flesh of men change. The spirit of men change. Therefore, the zeal of men can change. The zeal of Adonai wants and requires in return a zeal for him. As Adonai desired to create you and desires now to protect you, it is his zeal that did it then, and it's his zeal that does it now, what accomplishes now. It's because of his zeal. It is our zeal that will bind us to him and allow him to do for us. In a way, to know what zeal of man is, let's look at the opposite, or look at what lack of zeal will do. This is an example that we read about in Mark chapter 6. Yeshua goes to his hometown to teach and to heal, but there's a problem there. Mark 6, 2, starting from there. When Shabbat came, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many listeners were amazed, saying, "Where did this fellow get these things? What's his wisdom given to him? Such miracles are done by his hands. Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Miriam, and the brother of Jacob and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Yeshua began saying to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house. He was not able to do any miracles except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he was astonished because of their unbelief, and he was going around among the villages teaching." We see that Yeshua was not able to do in his own hometown because it didn't have faith. It was also a lack of zeal that caused the lack of faith. And it was a lack of faith that caused them not to have the zeal for him. A lack of zeal leads to a lack of faith and lack of belief in the abilities of Adonai in the flesh. Yeshua caused the limiting of his healings. He could have been. He went to his hometown. He wanted to teach. He wanted to heal. Their lack of zeal, their lack of faith, limited what could happen there. Their lack of zeal caused a lack of partnership with Adonai, with Yeshua, in allowing the miracles to happen. In Revelation, Yeshua said to the congregation of Laodicea this about their zeal for him. Revelation 3:15, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Oh, that you are either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I am about to spew you out of my mouth." That's actually, in other interpretation, "I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth." It's not just a boom, it's a boom out of my mouth. Their zeal, their lack of zeal, some would say lack of faith, but look at the last sentence he said to them, Revelation 3:19. "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent." It appears that they just didn't care. Perhaps he can, maybe he can't. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. They were just wishy-washy, middle-of-the-road congregation that didn't have faith, didn't have zeal for Adonai, the zeal that Adonai was looking for. So he rebukes them out of his love for them. His zeal for them was not the same place as their zeal for him. Even though their zeal was down here, his zeal for them was still way up here. He never changes, so his zeal for them did not change like theirs did for him. And what was the instruction towards them? Be zealous and repent from the sin of lack of faith. Notice the order of the instruction. First be zealous and then repent. Repentance cannot be first, because if there was not a zealousness then the repentance would not be heartfelt. Our zeal releases the power of Adonai. Without it, Adonai limits the things that he will do for his people. He wants to do, but the zeal or faith, or actually both, need to be present. Zeal, faith, belief, knowledge of the scriptures all have to be within the individual for the Ruach to move among us. Now, next week, I'm going to speak more about zeal along with what it should look like and how we can be zealous. But that's next week. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you, by your Ruach, have put faith within us. And by your Ruach, have put a zealousness within us. A zeal that drives us closer to you. A zeal that makes us want to be like you are. A zeal that allows us to move closer to you. Ruach HaKodesh, we know the scripture that says, I believe, help me in my disbelief. I have faith, help me in my unfaith. I have zeal, but help me in my zealousness. I need the boost from you, a boost in my faith, a boost in my belief, a boost in my zealousness. Ruach HaKodesh, help us, each and every one of us, to be on that level you want us to be. And we thank you that when we do ask for it, we know you answer. So we just thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.